Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Austin on the Air. Today we have with us on the show, we have Alicia Jarrett, aka Mama J. She's a keynote speaker in Atlanta, Georgia, philanthropist, community activist, a realtor. She holds several certifications in management and business, I believe. Yes. She's a mom of two daughters, one son who just happens to be Grady Jarrett. He's the defensive tackle for the Atlanta Falcons. So she wears many, many hats. So welcome, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Did I get everything on your bio? I feel like there's still so much more that we could.
There's definitely a lot more, but yeah. that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 years, June 1st, retired from a major institution where I held many different hats and many different titles. And so, yeah. And
busy lady.
Definitely busy. And probably the most important title is Lala of Harmony and Grayson.
Oh.
My two grandchildren.
Grandma now too. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. So for this podcast, so this is part of a series. We started a series in May for Mental Health Month. And we've kind of decided to continue it because there's so much to talk about. And so I'm very appreciative of you joining us, Alicia, because you have a story. You have, oh my gosh, a story that is so powerful. It's one of tragedy, but also, you know, resilience, perseverance, and ultimately, you know, hope. And I feel like that is, you know, that's the story that's so crucial for when we talk about mental health awareness. So if you don't mind, maybe take us back to, you know, 2015. It's the NFL draft, right? You're at home. It's supposed to be this joyful night, but it wasn't quite all that, right?
Yeah. So 2015 is my son graduated from Clemson and went in. He had a really successful career at Clemson, where he was a great student, but also a really good athlete. And so we're rolling around to the 1st of May, and we're waiting around for his name to be called. He and I had just come back from Chicago from the draft. And so we had a pretty big party at the house, and we're waiting for his name to be called. And we smelled something that didn't smell right. And long story short, a few minutes later, saw a huge dark streak of smoke, and immediately realized that the house was on fire. And so we, you know, went into survival mode, got everybody out of the house, and literally watched parts of the house that my children had grown up in. And I'm still there. I've been there over 30 years now. Just watch it kind of burn down. And it seemed like it took forever for the fire trucks to get there, but it really only took about 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah. But in that feels like eternity. Yeah.
Feels like eternity for sure. Yeah. Yep. So did that. And then we had to end up watching the rest of the draft that night after the police chief cleared the house. They told us, of course, that we couldn't go back in. And so we sit in lawn chairs on our yard and finished trying to watch the draft that evening.
Oh my God.
And then that went into the next day and when Grady was called. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So how did you know, that night, I mean, it was enough that you couldn't get back in the house.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was tragic. All of my children, all of our memorabilia, every trophy that they had from peewee to college was destroyed. My son's room was destroyed. our family room. There were several rooms that was totally destroyed. And no, it took us almost a year to get back in the house.
Wow. So the next day, that's the day that he was actually drafted, correct?
Yep. The next day was the day that he was actually drafted. And he tells the story really, really well. It was bittersweet. Of course, we were expecting him to go in the first or second round. Mm-hmm. And he was the first pick in the fifth round, which was surprising to all of us. But, you know, we say God does things for reasons, because here we are now going into his ninth year. So it's been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really something. So where did you watch day two?
Day two, we went over to my niece's house.
Okay.
My twin sister's daughter's house, Brianna's house. And that's where we watched the rest of the draft. And
how did you even get your head right to like watch? I mean, my gosh, like you just went through this. It's still going through.
You know, I often say, especially during the fire, we went into survival mode. That's the only way I know how to describe it. But it's definitely a testament to how I've raised my family. And, you know, material things can be gone in a blink. And, you know, we're examples of that. But life is precious.
Yeah.
And you have to live every day knowing that life is precious. My son definitely exudes that. He works really, really hard every day. I mean, he literally does not take a day off. And it's why it's taxing on his body. He does a very amazing job of taking care of his body. But as you know, that mental aspect comes into play as well.
Yeah.
So you have to.
As a mom, I imagine, you know, a lot of your heart that night and the next day, you know, is on your son, right? Because this is supposed to be such.
100%.
It's such a day for him. You know, the excitement and the all of that combined. Like, how did you, you know, what do you say to moms who are going through, you know, maybe it's maybe not even just a tragedy, but a lot of stress or whatever, trying to still be that mom when you're going through all this other stuff that's around you? How do you stay focused on what you think is important?
I'm a big reader, and I have yet to find a book that gives us an outline of how to do that. and I think that it's really important to stay grounded. My children have seen me very humble and very grounded. And I think that they have too adopted some of those qualities where they understand that life is a balance. And, you know, it's through trial and error. It's through communicating. It's through making sure that you don't allow your environment to change who you are, and that you don't conform to your environment, but that the environment conforms to you. And I think that has been truly amazing for my girls and my son as they continue to move through this life.
Yeah. So like you said before, having that perspective of things can go, but what's really important, life is precious.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that there's, you know, when we talk about women, moms especially, do you think that there's this stigma still, you know, associated with that, like moms can do it all. They got to be better. They don't ask for help. They're just put on your mom hat, you know? And if so, like, how do we change that, you know?
Yeah. You know, not all moms are the same. Not all dads are the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a very personal and inundate feeling that I have And I can't say that that's how my upbringing was. And I think that that's why I especially hover my children. My children at this point are 34 years old, 30 years old, and 24 years old. And I'm still Mama Bear. You know, I respect, you know, that they have their own lives. They have the ability to make their own decisions. And what I have faith in is that the many years that they spent with me, that I, you know, helped them develop morals and values and good decision making. And my prayers that that stays with them. And so far, you know, you never know, you know, what's in store, but so far, it's been okay. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle because, you know, moms, for me anyway, I was definitely the disciplinarian in our family. And I chose to be a mother first and not necessarily my children's friend. Mm-hmm. They can talk to me the same way that they talk to their friends. It was important. It's so cliche, but to treat people the way that you want to be treated. And my children came up like that.
Yeah. I think you bring up a good point too. You know, the being humble and that it's a struggle, just recognizing that, trying to be real. You know, I think sometimes people try to be so much more and to hide and to put up these facades and really.
Peer pressure, the peer pressure, society pressure. Our kids right now are growing up in the day of social media where, you know, they're looking and they're listening to somebody else telling them how they should be or how, what looks good and what don't look good. And a person that doesn't have a strong foundation will fall into that. Yeah. They will fall into that. And it's very disheartening to me when I see that.
Yeah. In the aftermath of the fire, I mean, that was a lot of loss. I mean, a lot of stress, a lot of tragedy. You know, what was the first thing, you know, that you did to kind of stay together, keep it together? You know, the number one thing that you needed to do for you to make sure that you're able to move forward, you know, was there something or someone or that kind of helped you do that?
So the number one thing that I did, the very first thing that I did, was looked around and saw that I had all of my children and my grandbaby at the time just had one. And that our friends and family, everybody was fine. Mm-hmm. I did not have time to cry. I didn't have time to do any of that until I realized that everybody was okay. Mm-hmm. And that's when I kind of lost it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And it was it was a minute. I kind of screamed out and said, "The house is burning down."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you said the word perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the house can burn down, you can lose everything, but I still had my babies, I still had my friends and family, and that meant everything. And guess what? We picked up and we kept it going. We kept it going. It wasn't you know, how we dreamed it to be. And it wasn't, you know, the flash and glory. But we were so relieved. Mm-hmm. And so happy. You know, when we got the call and my son, again, like I said, he says it best. Anytime you think that you are remiss from any tragedies or anything like that, God has a way of snatching you back down and keeping you very humble. Yeah. And, you know, that was a another reminder for us. And I thank God for that.
Yeah. After, I mean, you know, the draft, he got drafted round 5, he said.
The first pick in round five. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so
137.
That's a lot of transition then. He's all of a sudden now transitioning to this new job, this new, luckily, thankfully, it was still in Atlanta. But now you had the task too of rebuilding, and that's a lot, you know. What do you think, you know, as you were navigating that process, like, how did you kind of keep it, I guess, together, or at least recognize your red flags? Like, okay, I'm pushing it too hard. I need a break. I need to do things for me. Like, as you know, because there's that initial tragedy, but then there's the wake of the tragedy, you know. How, talk to me a little bit about the wake of the tragedy and how you made sure you were okay.
You know, my support group is huge. They're phenomenal. I call it my village. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same four or five women that I've had in my life for 30 or more years. My girlfriend Tari, who's been with me since the second grade of school. Mm-hmm. She's been with me for every birth of my kid, every tragedy, every happy move, everything in my life. And then my college girlfriend, Glissetta. And then I have Lynn and Kelly. There's a village. Yeah. And that village, Crystal, that village is what continues to, we push each other. We push each other. But while I have my village, again, I think the way that I was raised has a lot to do with, I'm very intentional on how I raised my children. I was very intentional on the expectations that I have for them. And sometimes that meant me working three jobs, still getting them to school, still getting them to practice, not missing. My kids had, you know, perfect honor roll and was always active. And so, I mean, there were sacrifices that I knew that I had to make, but sacrifices that I was willing to make. Yeah. To ensure that my children had the foundation. And so, again, there's not a magic wand that you raise. Consistency is huge. And again, communication is huge. Loving them. There's my oldest daughter's 34. I just told you this. My daughter's 34, Grady's 30 and just turned 30. And my baby girl is 24. There's not a day of their life that they've not heard me tell them, I love you. And they always reciprocate. And sometimes they tell me first, Mom, I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love it. There's not a day of our lives that we've not said those words.
Yeah.
And it's just a part of who we are.
And there's strength in that.
There's yeah. Absolute strength in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. And then that being, you know, if that's how you were raised, that's something that emanates from you just naturally that they will pass on.
Yep. And it's not how I was raised. Mm-hmm. It's you know, the life, the childhood that my children had was totally different from the childhood that I had. And again, you know,
maybe back to being intentional then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. I don't pass judgment because my childhood made me the person that I am today. But again, I was very intentional on how I raised my children. I was very intentional on what I wanted them to experience and what I prayed that they didn't experience.
Awesome. As I said it earlier, you know, you wear many, many, many hats. You know, are there things that, you know, not just like the tragedy parts or the, you know, the severe stresses, but just the day-to-day juggling of it all? Are there some things that are, you know, part of your routine, your self-care that really help you wear all these hats?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big reader, And I am, I'm not a person that's in church five days a week, but I'm very spiritual. I believe that there's a higher power and a higher being, and that spirit listens and helps guide our path. And I'm a big believer of, you know, do in the dark what you would do in the light, so that there's not skeletons, there's not things that haunt you, there's not things that, you know, you're looking over your shoulder for. I look straight. I am very, very proud of my life. And, you know, are there some things that I would have loved to do, have a redo on? Absolutely. Yeah. Right. But it's so cliche, you know, support, provide support, and then you get support, mm-hmm. you know, communicate, and then you're communicated with, believe in love and hope, and instead of always having a hand out, reach a hand down and pick up someone. Those things, those philosophies are very, very true for me. Yeah. And that's how I live my life. That's how I live my life. I think my youngest daughter, all of these children, though, especially with the social media, have a lot of stresses that I, you know, I'm like, gosh, you know, why are these young adults, not only young adults, it's people my age, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, putting unforeseen pressure on, you know, pressure on themselves to do things. That part I don't get. I know that I came from an area where I had to work for what I wanted. And now these younger people, like, they want it in a microwave. They want it now.
Yes.
But they don't want to put in the work for it. And so I'm a big advocate of, you have to work for what you want. You have to crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
And who are you trying to compete with? Stop trying to compete with anyone. When you compete with your son, when you compete with yourself, that's your biggest competitor. And my son says that best. He is his biggest competitor. You know, he sees what other people are doing in the league, but that's not his driving force.
Yeah.
He is his number one competitor. He's his biggest competitor. And I think whether you're in a sport or just life, that's kind of, yeah. you know, a good philosophy to have.
I mean, the social media aspect, it's true, because you get on. And I mean, when you're a young person and you're getting on and you have all these uncertainties and things that you want to do, and then you see supposedly all these other people doing them, it's that automatic comparison, you know,
what's wrong with me? How come I'm not there?
Right. Yeah. And it's not real a lot of times, you know what I mean? It's filtered or elaborated or whatever. And putting things into perspective and staying, like Grady says, you know, looking at you and what you can do. And
yes.
Yeah. Is there anything else that I didn't touch on that you think is important for people to understand, you know, that, you know, maybe are going through a tragedy or have just gone through one and they're just struggling, you know?
You know, tragedy, any adversity is part of an ingredient to success. It's what you do with that tragedy. Now you can soak, you know, sop in it and find somebody to blame. It was easy for me to find somebody to blame for our tragedy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what was that going to do? That was going to do absolutely nothing. Right.
Right.
And so any adversity, there's a lesson in that adversity. It's what we choose to do with that adversity, we choose to and chose to build upon it, learn from it, grow from it. We didn't shy away from talking about it, which helped us heal. Continue to support. And again, this seems so cliche, but it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
You know,
it's basic stuff of how humans
it's fundamental. Act. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what we're made for, you know.
Yeah.
Interaction, yeah. Communication, support, all of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am so grateful that you took the time out of your gorgeous vacation back there to talk with me.
Absolutely.
It's such an important topic, and I think that there's a lot of people after listening to you and listening to your story, you know, that can, I'm hoping, put things in perspective for themselves. And so I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely. There's one thing that, you know, when I'm talking to different moms around the league, you know, I have my show Inside the Shield with Pro Football Moms, where I talk to many different moms. We have 17 episodes last year, 17 episodes in the year before that, and then 17 episodes coming up this year. And one of the things that we talk about is, you know, when our boys or girls feel like they need some help outside of the family, that there's nothing wrong with seeking outside help, outside counseling to talk. Sometimes people, for whatever reason, find that to be an embarrassment. And I would tell anybody to please find you somebody to talk to, you know, someone that is even independent of, you know, your family or your friend, just so you can have a different perspective, because it helps. It helps. I'm a big advocate of talking to myself. Now you want to talk about crazy? I do. I'm like, you got this. You got this. You can do this.
That's the sanest thing I've heard all year.
I'm telling you. And that's probably like one of my secrets. That's not really a secret. Mm-hmm. My twin sister is a doctor. And so she talks to us a lot about, you know, some of the things that she goes through in her practice and stuff in regards to mental health. And I think when you have
able to release it.
Nice. Yes, when you're able to release it, I mean, it takes it.
Yeah.
The world lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, you become like a boiling pot with a lid on it. At some point, you gotta let that out, or something's gonna blow.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
for sure. It doesn't have for to sure. be to. You know, somebody that is part of the family, like you said, somebody mm-hmm. that sometimes that's mm-hmm. actually more helpful to get that outside perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. come in and put things, help you put things into perspective.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Alicia, I thank you so much. I am very, very grateful for your time and taking time out to talk to us about such an important topic. So have a great rest of your vacation. I'm so jealous with that background back there.
It's amazing. Yes. Definitely amazing.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.